This is Uberlito with your host Kizzle at Uberlito.com.
Yeah! Uberlito! Number 15 is back. It's been quite a while. It's been, oh, good 3 months since the last episode of Uberlito. The date is November 23rd of 2004. This episode is going to be a bit more technical than the last other episodes. I'm kind of tired of talking about news. I kind of ranted about that in episode 14. News is dumb. You can go on Slashdot, get the news there. Why should I sit here and repeat it? So, what we're talking about is ARP cache poisoning. It's a man-in-the-middle attack, but I'll touch on that in a minute. First off, I got a little bit of catching up to do since the show hasn't been going for a while. Not gonna read emails. I suppose I could. I don't know. It's just when I'm not doing the show for 3 months. There's just if I talk about my new projects, emails, and blah blah blah, it'll be a full show. So we're gonna keep this kind of light. Let's talk about Hacker Media first. You may remember Hacker Media was just one page. HackerMedia.net. You go there. It was this one page, and it linked to a few shows that I provided hosting for. There's DTMF Radio, Squizzy, Hacknip, Uberlito, and I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. And that was it. Now, I still provide hosting for those guys, but that's not the only purpose of Hacker Media now. Actually, what it does now, you can go there right now, and I'm most likely if you've heard of Uberlito, you've probably heard of Hacker Media, but if not, you go on there and you can see what's happened up to the minute. Oh, fuck. It's not up to the minute. I don't even know. It's pretty recent news of what episodes in our scene have been released as far as radio and even video stuff. So there's hacking stuff, freaking, some geek things like video games, that sort of thing. And it's been being updated about every day, actually. It's been going very, very good. How it works is that each host of a show, they get an account, and so they have to deal with the posting. So it doesn't all fall on me, because if I had to do it all, it become too much of a burden. So it's kind of a advertising space for the shows. And it works both ways. The shows get to promote their stuff, and everybody else, even me, just makes it much easier to consume this media, because you don't have to go to 20 different sites to see what shows are still producing episodes, which ones are dead, blah blah blah. You go to one site, there you go, you see what's new. I love it. It's gotten me to listen to this stuff again. I got to where I just didn't really listen to much of it again. I kind of stuck to my own show. I might have listened to one other show, and that was about it. Now that I have this site up, it's kind of compulsive that I have to click that new episode. I've seen kind of some ripple effects from the site where I've only seen it here and there, but I'm sure it's happening more than I'm aware of, that every once in a while I'll be listening to a show, and for example, Ben Rev Radio. Somebody went on there and emailed them and said, hey, you should do podcasting on your show. Podcasting allows... It's an automated program. It's a program that downloads shows automatically to your iPod. And this guy emailed Ben Rev Radio and said that he should do it. Now, podcasting is a very niche thing. Not a lot of people know about it. And this is shortly after I added this feature to Hacker Media, and it was on some of the iPod or podcasting directory sites. So I could see from right there that most likely that person hit Hacker Media, and they found out about Ben Rev, People have found out about Squizzy, about all this other show, and it's just really cool. I'm really excited that these shows are getting more listeners, more people are finding out about all this really, really good stuff that's out there. So it's doing its job, not trying to toot my own horn. I'm really excited about it, and it'll expand. It has more projects coming on the way. There'll be Hacker Media projects. One that just came out is Hacker Media Public Access. That's the first project of the site. What it is that there's a lot of people that may want to do a radio show like this, like I do. But the problem is that once you create a radio show, you have to keep up on it. It can become a burden if it's not something you really want to do. When you first do it, you have to mess around with trying to get people to know about your show, finding a place to put the show, get somebody else to host it, or pay for it yourself, get a domain, just all this stuff you have to go through. And if you're only going to do a couple episodes and figure out, oh, I don't like doing this, that's kind of a waste. And it's just another show name to kind of clutter up everything else. So what Hacker Media Public Access is, it's public access for people that want to do radio shows. How it works is, say you want to do a radio show, you don't want to create a whole new show, all you have to do is one episode on whatever you want, really, as long as it's kind of interesting to hackers, freaks, geeks, that sort of thing. I'm not very strict on the content. You do a show. If you need help, I'm standing by right now. Nobody else is contributing to it, really, that's a host, which is kind of disappointing, but maybe more people will get on, people that have done shows. So right now it's just me providing help, but down the road, hopefully there'll be more people helping out, and I'm still writing up a guide on internet radio in general. I'm no expert, but I can cover the basics just fine in getting anybody up and running. So now that you know how to do the show, you get it done, get it recorded, you submit it to me, and I throw it up on the site. Hacker Media Public Access is its own show. It's a show. Each episode will be by somebody else, somebody creating their first episode probably. So you have all these episodes in one spot. And then people can listen to it and they can leave comments and say, hey, you did this right. I really like this. I didn't like that part. Maybe you could improve that. And then, hopefully, the person that did that show will come back and create a new episode and improve it. We're going to get so much new stuff. We're already getting new stuff that we would have never heard before if this project didn't exist. White Sword, he does internet TV show, it's at whitesword.tk, about urban exploration, which essentially exploring urban environments, buildings, abandoned buildings, even active buildings. He's gone under a university by them, or by him, and he goes in the tunnels. It's very interesting. It has a lot to do with kind of hacking, if you think about it, exploring things you wouldn't really think of. And he wouldn't have done a show about this if it wasn't for this project. Even people that have already done shows, such as DTMF Radio, something at Hacker Media provides hosting for, 813 Error from that show did an episode about video games. Their show isn't about video games, so it makes sense that, hey, instead of boring our listeners with a show about video games, and they didn't come here to talk about or hear about video games. They hear about technology. That show format would not fit with their show, so say, okay, we're going to try out something new, talk about video games, so we're going to submit it to this public access project, because it doesn't fit with our stuff. Now I want more people to do that as well. You have a show? You want to try out something completely different? Doesn't really matter what it is. It could be you want to do some sort of like play, like audio thing, like you used to do way back in the day. Want to do something funny? That'd even be cool. If it's something some vaguely technology related, hey, why not? Doesn't have to be just a talk show. You want to do a spoof of another radio show? Want to do a spoof of my show? That'd be awesome. Be hilarious. you're really free to do whatever you want. Oh, I didn't mention the URL for that. It's hackermedia.net/public. I recommend everybody checks it out. The site is pretty ghetto looking right now. Oh, I will have that fixed sometime in the future. But at least it's functional. You have some episodes on there. By the time you hear this, I'll have episode 3 up. Well, it's Crackhead Radio by Majestic, me, and Shran. We're on a voice bridge. It's just a conference call, if you've never heard of it, a bridge before. It's over the phone, and we were just sitting on there, and we did this, and Majestic was running around Detroit trying to interview crackheads and hookers and attempting social engineering, free calls from payphones, but he failed miserably. It's a pretty good episode. Check that out. So that's what's going on in my neck of the woods, my projects. Let's get on to the main meat of this episode. I'm going to assume you have some basic understanding of networking. I'm going to try to explain as much as possible. I'm not going to try to be too lit. Hell, I'm not that lit. So, ARP cache poisoning. With this attack, you can sit between two hosts on a network, two computers, maybe a server and a computer. Doesn't really matter. Two network enabled devices on a local network. So, this isn't going to work on the internet. This will work on us, for example, maybe a school network, your company network, something like that. Now, I'm not advocating any of this. It's purely just for education. You can do this stuff perfectly well at your house. I did. I didn't go any place fancy to play with this stuff. I just did it on my home network. I have a few boxes set up. Just did it from here. I have a router. Yeah, works just fine. So you're going to be able to sniff packets, even on a switched network. Most people don't know that you can do that. Well, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, so let's start with the basics. What is ARP? It's A-R-P. And that stands for Address Resolution Protocol. On a network, you have IP addresses, obviously. Everybody knows that. Everybody has a address of, let's say, 192.168.1.100, then maybe the next computer will have the same address, except for the end will be 101, then 102, 103, so on and so forth. Each computer gets a different IP address. Advantage of that is with IP addresses, you can give each computer anyone you want. It's not hard-coded. It's a convenient way of numbering computers on a network. Now, you have MAC addresses that every networking-enabled device has to have a MAC address. The thing about MAC addresses is that it's a hard-coded address. It's like IP address, but it's hard-coded. So, you can't really use just a MAC address on a network because every single computer on your network is going to have this random address. It's not going to make sense. They're not going to be in order. A MAC address is also kind of confusing to remember, too. For example, my MAC address on this computer I'm using right now, oh, I'm going to give out my docs. I'm going to get owned now. I have 00-40-05-36-E3-96. That's kind of confusing. It has letters and numbers and dashes. And each computer is going to have some other address. Who knows what it's going to be? It's going to be too hard to remember. So we have IP addresses that refer to our MAC addresses on a network. Where ARP comes in is that it bridges the gap between IP addresses and MAC addresses. It lets your computer say, hey, this IP address of 192.168.1.100, what the hell is the MAC address for that? And ARP goes, hey, the MAC address is 00-40-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. And that's what ARP does. It's simple. It's vital. So pretty much, any network you go on is going to have ARP, as far as I know. Maybe there's some proprietary network. I don't know. Actually, it'd be interesting to research. Maybe Mac networks. I think Mac networks would probably use ARP as well. But hey, I don't know. Something to research. Because ARP is a very standard thing. I don't think there's any reason they would ditch that. With ARP, since ARP it's an old protocol, just like TCP/IP, and a lot of the email as well. These are old protocols developed way back in the day, the 80s, when the internet was just a very small network. It was called the ARPANET. All you had was government people, universities, people that weren't going to cause trouble. Security didn't matter. These protocols were not developed for security. And you can see this plain as day right now. With email, if you send email to somebody, you can put the return address as anything you want, just like regular mail. If I send an email, I could say I was George Bush at WhiteHouse.com. Doesn't matter. Everybody that was on ARPANET back in the day, for the most part, I'd imagine, was trustworthy. They put their actual email address. Look at TCP/IP. When you send a packet over the internet, over a local network, doesn't matter. But using TCP/IP to send your packet, you can put, just as an email, just same thing, you can say whatever you want for the return IP address. The disadvantage, of course, is if somebody tries to reply to you, they can't because you gave the wrong return address. This stuff is in the process of getting fixed. That's beyond the scope of this. Just to understand ARP, you just have to understand that it's insecure because it's an old protocol that wasn't designed for security. The big problem with ARP isn't really ARP itself. It's the way clients on the network are handling ARP. Clients, again, being computers, servers, hell, even your router is a client. Any node of a network. Or actually, I don't know. Would you consider, I guess you wouldn't consider a router a client, but you get the idea here. Nodes on a network. Things on a network that do stuff. How they handle ARP is, for the most part, almost any device is going to handle it this way. They will accept any ARP information they receive on the network. This is bad. Because let's say, for example, you have host A and host B. Let's say host A is my computer, my desktop computer. Host B is the router. This is where I go. Let's not say my router. Let's say my gateway, which your router could be the gateway, doesn't really matter for this explanation. Whatever the IP address is that your computer is using to communicate with the internet. The gateway IP address is what's the bridge between your network and the internet. You would contact your gateway to say, hey, I want to go to uberlito.com. Host A, being my computer, and host B, to communicate, they're going to have to use ARP to figure out what each other's MAC addresses are. And they use ARP. So both of these guys, they both know what each other's MAC addresses are. Where you can go in and cause trouble is you can go in, you can tell them the MAC address changed. Thereby, you're redirecting the flow of information. I could say, host A, which is my desktop computer. Somebody could say, hey, Kizzle's desktop computer, your gateway's MAC address isn't that MAC address anymore. It's my MAC address. So whenever you want to connect to the internet, just send your packets my way. And your computer, even if it's the latest patch XP, Service Pack 2, says, okay, I'll send my packets over there. This is a Linux problem, too. I've seen it even on fully patched versions of Linux. So don't think you're using Linux, you're fine. It's just how this is implemented. Your computer's saying, hey, okay, yeah, whatever. I trust everybody. And that evil person that just gave your computer bad information can do the same exact thing to the router or gateway or whatever you want to call it. It can say, okay, do the same exact thing. Hey, that Kizzle's desktop computer, his MAC address is this now. It's my MAC address. So what just happened was my desktop computer is sending all its packets to the evil computer, thinking it's the gateway, and now the gateway is doing the same thing, only backwards. The gateway is sending, when it's sending packets to my desktop computer, it's sending it to the evil computer. And all the evil computer does is simply functions like it should. It functions to where you don't see anything happening. It's totally seamless to the user. All your packets are getting retransmitted. So instead of going straight across the wire, it's going between through that host. Hence why it's called a man-in-the-middle attack. It's in the middle of your communication. This can happen without you knowing it. I don't know. Not a lot of people know about it, I guess, because I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. This vulnerability has been around for a while. I'm not elite for... I didn't think of this. I did some research on the internet. I read a bunch of stuff, and I figured out what it was. And I figured I'd do an episode on it. Some people would rather listen to audio than read a book. Perfectly understandable. That's the basics of it. There's not a whole lot more to it than, essentially, the implementation of the ARP protocol on computers is, yeah, it's the standard way of doing it. It's how the protocol wanted it to be done, but it's an outdated way of going about it. Networks are not secure anymore. We do have to worry about people that want to break in or just steal information. So if you want to try this out yourself, all you really need to try this for yourself is a basic home network. You can have a router or even a hub, just some way of connecting a few computers together. You want at least three computers. Scratch that. All you really need is a router and one computer hooked up to it. And you sit in between your router, which is most likely it's going to be 192.168.1.1, and the computer is going to be some other random IP address. It's up to you what you want the IP address is. And just play with it from there. The utilities you want to do, these are very easy to use utilities. I can only think of one. There's Ettercap, ETTER. Cap. So that's ETTERCAP. Now, most people are going to say, and they're very correct, hey, that's a script kiddie application. It is. It's very easy to use. But it's also a lot of fun. The important thing here is that you now know exactly what's going on. You know what ARP is, what that protocol is, and you know why it's insecure, and you know how the attack actually takes place. So I really don't see anything wrong with you playing with the utility. I recommend you figure out more fun things or fun ways of using this vulnerability. Have fun with it. Play with it. For example, I haven't gotten too far into using Ettercap. I guess I can do a bunch of stuff. I was just doing kind of the basic stuff, just kind of sitting there sniffing traffic and just dumping it to a file. But what you can do, and I want to play with this, I just haven't gotten around to it, you can sit in between like I said, in between a regular computer and the internet connection. But you can see what they're transmitting, but you can also change it, because your computer can send back whatever it wants, just so everything works fine. It by default, it's just gonna, using a tool like EtherCAP, it's gonna send the same exact information between both of them. It's not gonna change it, but you can change the information. So if you wanted to say, okay, every time I see the string of text of google.com, I'm gonna change that to hackermedia.net. And you can mess with people. They can't understand why it is they can't go to their website. How is this working? And is my computer hacked? Oh my god. Some fun things you can find out with. You could replace the word the with blanked text. So when everybody's trying to go to a website, it takes out the word the. And they cannot understand why every single website is fucked up like that. Have fun with it. Definitely play with it. Go farther than I've gone with this. And email me, kizzle@hackermedia.net. kizzle@hackermedia.net. I definitely want to hear of people playing with this. It's a lot of fun. It's underrated little thing to play with. There are more advanced utilities out there to play with this. I have not messed around with them. I've used EtherCAP. I recommend you go out there and just kind of research this. It's, you'll find other utilities that make you do a lot more of the manual labor. Maybe you could figure out a way of transmitting these ART packets the same. Manually. You manually send the packets yourself. So not only are you learning this vulnerability, you learn how the ART protocol works. You may even learn how TCP/IP works. You may learn how all these packets and frames and all this fun stuff. You could really just kind of take it from there. So hopefully this gets you interested in something. I had a lot of fun with it. From even the limited amount of stuff I played with it, I learned a lot. And I hope you learn a lot with it too. I will be doing more episodes like this. The next episode will probably be, I'm not going to guarantee this, but it will probably be server load balancing. I'm not sure how interesting that'll be. I'm reading a book on it right now. It's essentially server load balancing unless you take the load off of one server and distribute it to multiple servers. Like when you go to yahoo.com, you're not hitting just one server doing all the work. They probably have hundreds of servers, but they all work together to host one website. It's pretty interesting. I'm interested to read more of the book and think of the hacking-related implications of this, of having multiple servers. I think it'll be interesting. I think I can probably squeeze an episode out about it, but stay tuned for that. Actually, one last thing before I get off the subject of ART poisoning is, it's actually ART cache poisoning. I don't remember how I was referring to it, but it is ART cache poisoning. Why it's called that is that each computer on the network is, so it doesn't have to keep asking for the ARP information, so it doesn't have to keep asking what that MAC address is. It will keep a temporary list of what the IP addresses and the MAC addresses are, how they correspond. And the reason the whole exploit works is that you're just poisoning that cache of data. The beautiful part about this is that a lot of the times, this is a perfectly clean attack. Because once you're done rerouting the information, then let's say you disappear, and that computer's link to wherever else is broken, almost all the time, that computer will just say, oh, I can't contact that host anymore. I'm going to ask, again, using ARP, I'm going to ask again, hey, what's that MAC address for this IP address? So a lot of times it'll just fix itself. You can fix it. You can give it the correct ARP information when you're done. That's always an option. But just want to throw that in there. I think this pretty much wraps up the episode. Got a good almost half hour in here. I'm getting a lot better at doing long episodes by myself. So I'll close this off with, first, let's say again, the Public Access Project, Hacker Media Public Access. Please, if nothing else, go on there, leave comments. I set up a little message board, guests can post up there, you don't have to create an account. At least leave some comments for these people that have taken the time, created an episode. Most of these people have never done this before. And they don't know if they're good. They don't know if people like this stuff. If you go on there and comment, who knows? You might get the next Radio Freak America, the next Ben Rev Radio, the next really good show. You don't know. But if these people doing these episodes for the Public Access Project don't get feedback, they're going to assume that nobody cares. Oh, why should I do radio show if nobody cares? I wouldn't be doing this episode right now if I wasn't getting now and then emails from people saying, hey, what's up with Uber Lido? Why isn't there an episode? I'm talking on Party Lines, they're like the Bell's Mine PBX with the other technology oriented people on there. It wasn't people saying, hey, on there, where's Uber Lido? When's you going to do the next one? If it wasn't for these people having comments and giving me encouragement, or even simply saying what they didn't like, I wouldn't be doing this episode right now, because it's pointless. If there's nobody listening, why do you even want to do it? It's the same exact thing with the Public Access Project. You might get some amazing shows that come out of this, but if you don't support it, it's gonna die out. So please, 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 go there, hackermedia.net/public. Click message boards, and after you've listened to the episodes, and just take a couple minutes, leave a comment. I beg you. It's very important to the project. It's a very unique project that I really want to see work out. And I guess, actually, I'll give some shouts. I usually do not give any shout-outs. Let me load up uberlito.com here. There was an image contest thing where I invited people to say, or to go out and use crappy painting programs such as MS Paint or programs similar to it on Linux, whatever. Just something that lets you do the basic stuff. And make some Uberlito themed images. And there's some really, really good stuff on there. Go on uberlito.com. It's right on the news section. Hey, if you want to throw some images my way, go right ahead. Have some fun with it. As you can see from here, you don't have to be good. I'm not good, and I put a picture on there. I don't know. I'll figure out some sort of prize. It's not going to be anything spectacular, but I'll figure something out down the road after I get around to it. People that have submitted pictures are my man 87. Me, Crash Dust, Skillar, I think is how you say that, Morox, Chromium, I believe, White Sword, Dark Thing, Crash Dust again, White Sword again, Clipper, and Nidi, that's spelled N-I-D-I. Those guys submitted pictures, very, very, very cool. I'll give some shout-outs to the people that have submitted episodes for the Public Access Project. Let me load this up. Oh, fuck. Spelt that wrong. Well, we have 813Error and David Copperfield, not the actual guy. Somebody calling themselves an imposter. Calling themselves David Copperfield, but whatever. They did an episode on video games. And then White Sword, before that, he did an episode on urban exploration. The next two episodes, which will be episode 3 and 4. Episode 3 is Crackhead Radio. I think I mentioned that. Yeah, I mentioned that before. Just Crackhead Radio. And that's by Majestic and me and Tron and some other people were on there. And the fourth episode will be another urban exploration episode by White Sword. And I really enjoyed this one. I enjoyed the first one too, but this third one, he took the comments from people on the public access site, and even though it was only a few comments, he did what he could, and he improved it. It sounds a lot better. I thought it was more entertaining. He just improved it. He did what this project's about. He did an episode, listened to comments, he did another show, improved it. That's why I stressed earlier, please leave comments, because you will get better shows. And who knows, maybe White Sword, now that he knows that people like it, he might go on and create his whole new show, not just do public access. Maybe keep doing these episodes on his own site. So, just because people commented, maybe we have something really cool that's going to keep happening. So, those are my shoutouts. I probably have more, but, you know, damn it, I can only say so many. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. I think it turned out pretty good. This is uberlito.com. My email address is kizzle@hackermedia.net. kizzle@hackermedia.net. Closing music is, well, actually it's the opening and closing music, is a band called Barcelona. The song is called I Have the Password to Your Shell Account. Very, very good, nerdy music. I like it a lot. That was the episode. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good night. Drive safely, etc., etc.